Bauhaus is one of the most progressive schools of art, design and architecture of the 20th century, considered to have started with Walter Gropius in the Weimar Republic in 1919. Bauhaus 100, The Print Portfolios, is an exhibition currently at the National Gallery of Ireland. And Dr. Christina Mortensen, lecturer in the Department of History of Art and Architecture at Trinity College, has been to see the exhibition and is with me in studio. Now, when we talk about the Bauhaus, first of all, Christina, what are we talking about? A school? A group of people? What exactly is it?
Yes, well, the Bauhaus, as you mentioned, is one of the most progressive schools of art, of design and of architecture of the 20th century. And it was established by the architect, Walter Gropius, in the city of Weimar in 1919. And it's under his direction and the direction of his successors, so the architects Hannes Meyer and Ludwig Mies van der Rohe, that the school was really revolutionized into this modern campus for living, for learning and for teaching.
And when we say we're talking about 1919 Weimar, a particular period in Germany's history, really trying to forget the First World War is what this group of people were doing in art and design. How did they go about doing this? What kind of aesthetic did they have that might have got them away from the horrors of World War One?
Well, the founder, Gropius, and his peers had emerged from these horrors of the First World War, and they felt really disconnected from society. But rather than trying to recapture the past, they launched forward with this utopian vision of the future that could potentially transform the society around them. And so the fundamental principle of the Bauhaus School was to design for this new future, meeting the needs of the everyday people through housing, offices and furniture design.
So are we talking as much functionality here as we are talking about the look of the thing, or how was the look of the thing determined? When did that start to become important?
Their core philosophy, I suppose, was to provide these useful solutions for modern living, and they embraced the newest technology, mass production and the mechanization of processes as a means of improving quality of life. And their aesthetic is maybe best summed up in the idea or the dynamic of form and function. And Walter Gropius said, we want an architecture adapted to our world of machines, of radios and fast motor cars. An architecture whose function is clearly recognisable in the relation of its forms. So what he is saying here with this is that each element of a design should have a purpose, and that purpose should be reflected in its aesthetic form. So it's a really powerful statement of functionalism that has informed approaches to architecture and design well into our century as well.
And is, you know, what we get in the National Gallery at this exhibition is for the most part, we're talking about prints. It's a portfolio of prints. I guess that links in with the fact that they were talking about methods of mass production, etc. This was an important aspect to them. Do these prints give us any kind of form, any kind of picture, if you like, of what Bauhaus ideas looked like on a page?
Yes. I suppose that the four print portfolios that we see in this exhibition are all on loan to the National Gallery from the Staatsgalerie Stuttgart. And the 52 prints, they range from woodcuts to lithographs, liner cuts and etchings. And they contain works by the Bauhaus teaching faculty. So people like Kandinsky, Paul Klee, Feininger. But also, and quite interestingly, in these portfolios are works by leading artists associated with the European avant-garde, so movements like Expressionism and Futurism. And in these prints, we find a number of works by Kirchner, by Marc Chagall, Giorgio Di Chirico and Franz Marc.
And in terms of how they actually look, what kind of aesthetic are we dealing with there? I mean, if you think of Kandinsky, we're thinking of abstract shapes. We're not exactly thinking of functionality there, are we?
Absolutely. I think there's quite a wide range of works within the exhibition. So the lead image from the exhibition is Kandinsky's composition. It's a highly abstract work combining elements of colour, of line and form. But also we have Italian futurists who were really interested in speed and machinery. And then again with the German expressionism, people like Kirchner and Pechstein, looking at, I suppose, non-European ideas or influences in their work. So it's really quite a broad range of styles covered.
We don't get much in terms of the architecture, even though was architecture at the very heart of the Bauhaus principle or the Bauhaus aesthetic and set of ideas?
It really was. It was at the centre of it. But having said that, the architecture school or department within the Bauhaus school was only founded in 1927. And that was, I believe, the last year that Walter Gropius was director of the school.
Yeah, because I suppose if we're thinking of Bauhaus being founded in 1919, so we're on the 100th anniversary now, that's why this exhibition is there at the National Gallery. 8 years in is quite a distance in, and it was all gone effectively in 1933, wasn't it?
Yes. So it does have a very short lifespan. But I think the influence of the Bauhaus school cannot be understated, really, or underestimated at this time.
What is that influence? How has it manifested itself through to even the present day, would you say?
Well, I suppose if we think back to the iconic Bauhaus building, we think of the school itself. And that was designed by Gropius and completed in 26. And if we think about, I suppose, to this day, or maybe examples even in Ireland, we need look no further really than the Berkeley Library in Trinity College that was designed in the 1960s by Paul Karlec in the Brutalist style. So again, he was looking at the Bauhaus school, but also other modernists like Le Corbusier, and you see the timber imprint on the poured concrete, highly functionalist aesthetic in the library itself. So really, this style, I think, came to imprint architecture for the next 50 years, but still to this day as well.
What then, why did it become such a problem? Because we're here in Weimar, we know that there was a kind of an attitude towards that this was all too, what's the word that I'm looking for? Degenerate is one word that's coming into my mind. It's not actually the word that I'm looking for. They hated the kind of the extravagance of it all, didn't they? The Nazis, when they started to come to power, the Nationalist power, National Party.
Absolutely. And really, they did meet with quite a lot of political opposition during their time.
The Bauhaus school,
yeah. However, the architects Gropius, Mies van der Rohe, did receive public commissions from the city of Dessau for housing and for office buildings. But really, what begins to mar this explosion of creativity during the Weimar Republic, and the Weimar Republic itself directly coincides with this lifespan of the Bauhaus school. So that's from 1918 to 33. But what does mar this explosion of creativity is surging anti-Semitic and right-wing sentiment. And that, of course, leads to the National Socialists seizing power in 1933 and the closure of the Bauhaus school.
And the problem was they saw the Bauhaus school too liberal?
Absolutely. It was too liberal, it was too communist, too Jewish, and quite literally too un-German.
Anything that wasn't German, it was too that.
Absolutely. And their tastes were being governed, of course, by classical art, which was seen as being racially pure and uncorrupted. And their aspirations for Germanic unity were being visually translated into these Blut und Boden, or blood and soil, propaganda images at this time. So any kind of modern art was being dismissed as degenerate or sick or diseased.
And then, you know, when we get a little bit later on then into 1937 and the Nazi degenerate art exhibition, would any of the Bauhaus school have featured in that? Would that have been important then for the to if you like, discourage people from looking at the Bauhaus aesthetic?
Absolutely. And this 1937 exhibition of degenerate art is really quite fascinating. It was a major touring show. There were over 600 artworks included in it. And it is interesting to note that almost all of the German artists in this Bauhaus 100 exhibition were actually included in that 1937 show.
And was this, I mean, the artists themselves who had been in Germany up until 1933, the majority of those involved in the Bauhaus school, did they get out of Germany? Were they effectively, did they know that they were expelled without necessarily being told that directly?
Yeah, I think the closure of the Bauhaus school in 1933 really means the dissemination of Bauhaus ideals on the world stage. So many of the people fled Germany and went on to great success in the US, in fact. So Gropius, for example, went to the US. He was a Harvard professor. Mies van der Rohe went to Chicago designing skyscrapers. He took on private commissions for clients as well, like Farnsworth House. But he also designed the Illinois Institute of Technology and also lectured there too.
So the exhibition then that we're getting at the National Gallery, does it give us a very strong sense of the Bauhaus ideal, or is it a very specific aspect of it that we're seeing?
Well, the aspect that we are seeing is less focused on architecture, perhaps, and more so on the content of these portfolios. Really putting together, I suppose, Bauhaus ideals, but also positioning themselves within this wider European artistic milieu at this time.
And were there particular works that you saw in the National Gallery that stood out for you?
I think the whole room full of expressionist prints was something that was very, very visually engaging. So there are works there by, as I mentioned, Kirchner, Erich Haeckel, but two in particular are by Ernst Ludwig Kirchner and Max Pechstein. And so they really demonstrate, I suppose, the influence of African and Oceanic art on European subject matter. So Kirchner was extremely prolific. He was a member of Die Brücke, the expressionist group based in Dresden. And the print that we see in this exhibition is one of over 2,000 prints that he produced during his lifetime. So it's a portrait of his landlord's son. Equally with Max Pechstein, we see the actual gouge marks in the woodblock itself becoming very clear in the print. Again, a characteristic of expressionist art. And both bear, as I said, the hallmarks of, I suppose, African or what was then called primitive art as well.
And is there any sense, you know, even though these artists and designers were trying to get away from the horrors of the First World War, particularly in that expressionist room that you're talking about, does it start to foreshadow perhaps the horrors that were to come in the Second World War?
Yeah, I think in many ways it does. And there's, I suppose, a feeling of discontent among individuals at this time. I suppose the Weimar Republic is very interesting in the sense that we see this, I suppose, increase and surging population in urban centres and all of the various social classes and interactions within that. So we do get some taste of those ideas and that type of culture in this exhibition.
Now, as well as the exhibition, obviously there are a whole raft of talks happening across it. It runs right through until the beginning of December, in fact. But there was one in particular that caught your eye. It's happening in November, in fact, November the 7th. So if you want to go to this, you just might be in a situation and be able to get tickets at this point.
This is a really exciting program, actually, of events for all ages, and really expands and complements the exhibition in many ways. But what caught my eye was Bauhaus and the Modern Metropolis. And this is a talk by Dr. Regina Bittner. She is head of the Bauhaus Dessau Foundation, so it does promise to be a really interesting talk. And on that note as well, on the 8th of September, a new Bauhaus museum is being opened at the Dessau complex itself. So there are many exciting events going on, both in Ireland and abroad, of course, to celebrate this centenary.
Yeah, but you'd be encouraging people, I guess, to get into the National Gallery to see these prints while they're there.
Absolutely. Talks like this do sell out ahead of time, so it would be worthwhile investigating.
Dr. Christina Mortensen there speaking to me about Bauhaus 100, the print portfolios, the exhibition curated by Niamh McAnally, on view at the National Gallery of Ireland on Merrion Square West in Dublin. Admission is free. It runs through until December the 1st, and you can also find out information about the talks and the various events happening on the gallery's website, which is nationalgallery.ie.